chill, throwing all the food, and I didn't have breakfast. That's awful. But it's good to be back. It feels good being at home, in a sense. This is still my home to a certain extent, even though I'm not with this church anymore. Can I pray with you as we begin? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you satisfy our hunger for you. When we realize that everything that we have on earth does not measure up to what you have offered us, then we know that in you that we're truly home. And God, I pray for myself and also my brothers and sisters, my friends here, that you would allow them to understand what it means to be in you and with you as they continue to journey with one another and in this church as they continue to let people know that you are indeed real and alive in our lives in a very vivid way. So help us, God, as we attempt to tackle a difficult passage. I pray that you would just allow us to have the unique eyes that you have given us to see what you have for us. And I pray in your name. Amen. I'm getting confused how to use this again. Let me just make sure. Oh, there you go. I'm sorry, this picture is not very good. I don't know if you have a chance to see any Olympic events. This is the last day of the whole Olympic thing. I don't know if you realize that this is it. After today's closing ceremony, everything is done. The bubble is burst. We're going back to normal. I had a chance to see the only event that I could afford, and that was the opening ceremony of the Paralympics. Phil is laughing because I saw her at DC Place. She was working there. She wasn't going there as a guest. I got cheap tickets, so I was very lucky that I actually get to sit in a lower bowl. I got really cheap tickets, $30, but somehow I managed to, I don't know why, but I was in a low level. It was great. How many of you were there, actually? Yeah, some of you. I didn't see you. You should have said hi to me among the 60,000 people, right? You even if you watch it on TV, you know what I'm talking about. It was a great show, and you know, the number of people, the coordination that was required to make this successful, it was just mesmerizing. Now, as I was sitting there, I mean, you have to wait an hour because you're doing this stupid rehearsal thing, and I was part of it, learning how to dance and all that. And I was just sitting there, and I was thinking about church. Now, this opening ceremony was 2 hours long. If you watch it, you know. And it took 5,000 volunteers to make it happen. 5,000. That's not a small number. 5,000 people. 5,000 talents. Now, if I was to ask you, how many talents, how many people you think we need to run a church? How would you answer that? How many people you need to run a church? How many volunteers you need to run a church? Now, I'm not just talking about one church. I'm not talking about your church. If we look at church as one big one, from a grand perspective, meaning all the way from the New Testament, all the way till now, and until Jesus Christ comes back, we're talking about a huge, gigantic church, then we realize it's far greater than just the functions of one local church, right? Or a two-hour event, because this is much grander, greater than a two-hour event, or just one church. It runs much deeper than having 5,000 people doing something in 2 hours, or a few people doing something here on this stage on a particular Sunday morning, right? You know that. The church, if we look at a church from a supernatural, if I can use that term, or spiritual perspective, must go beyond the celebration of the humanistic ability or capability. Church must go beyond the celebration of the human endeavor. We're here not to just do things on our own. Sing a few songs, say a few things about the Bible, and then we'll go home happy, thinking that we have the blessing. We're here to worship God together. This is a spiritual event. We learn about Him. You go to Sunday school, you come here, listen to sermons, you interact with the Scripture. You go to the community, you invite people back to the luncheon next week. You proclaim the good news of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His coming, which is our hope. Right? This is church. Now, Jesus did a lot of ministry. And He did not do it alone. Now, He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at John 14:12, it says this. Very interesting. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. This is what He said. He is doing this. This is His view on the view of the church. Anyone who will do this, who has faith in Me, He's talking to His disciples, will do what I've been doing. What I'm doing, you guys will keep on doing. And you guys will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Now, what does it mean? What the heck is this, right? Now, we also discover in Acts 1 that Jesus promised what? He promised the Holy Spirit when they asked Him of His return date, right? He was about to ascend to heaven. So they were asking, hey, when are you going to come back? We missed you. We want you to come back. You know, we don't want you to leave. You know, come back soon. And that's what He said. Sorry, that went a little earlier. The Father alone has the authority to set those days and times, and they're not for you to know. Okay, that's the answer. Verse 8, listen to this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we always focus at the end of that verse 8, right? You know, you will be My witnesses, telling people exactly, you know, about Me and, you know, Jerusalem. You know, that's a lot of mission departments, right? We're looking at the layers, right? Different layers, you know, from Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the earth. But there's this one part sometimes we overlook. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. This is the NLT version, which is included in your bulletin as an insert. You have your NIV, you can follow that with me. When Jesus says we can do greater things, He didn't mean that we can do better, a better job than He did. He didn't say that. He didn't mean that. As the Holy Spirit comes, as we see in Acts, you know, earlier in Acts we saw that, more people have the privilege to serve and be served. So all of a sudden, it's not Jesus who's doing ministry on His own. He's saying, everybody, you are being drawn by the Spirit, and guess what? You can do ministry. I don't have to be the only one. So I'm not the only one doing this. More people will be able to do great work. The dwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us a chance to serve like Jesus did. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And this gives us the chance to serve just like Jesus. This is from a scripture. I didn't make it up. This is significant. This is very important because as you serve, and many of you are in positions, whether you are greeting people with your name tag or you're leading worship, it tells us one thing. Our ministry here is a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. We are not doing this because we feel like doing it. We're not doing this because we have deacon board meeting and says, well, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing that. We are doing this because Jesus did it, and we're continuing His ministry on earth. So it is a continuation. We know we're not doing this alone. Isn't that comforting that we're not doing this alone? It is equally important to acknowledge that all ministries begins and ends with Jesus. It begins because Jesus began, and we follow His examples. But it also ends with Jesus. What do I mean by that? It all points to one thing. And that's a proclamation of the gospel, letting people understand who Christ is. It should always be pointing towards Jesus. If we're not doing this beginning and the end with Jesus, why are we doing ministry? Just like the volunteers at the Olympics, none of us can do this alone, right? You know, we cannot do it on our own. You know, none of us can come in and lead worship and greet people and switch on the lights and do PowerPoint, everything on his own or her own. We are all created uniquely and we have different gifts. So we can serve in different capacities according to the gifts that we're given. Think about it. If everybody says, you know what, I want to play on the piano, I want to play the guitar, I want to play the drums. Everybody, if every one of you goes, I want to do it this morning, I don't care what you think. So Olina stepped aside. Lorraine, you know, go to the back. I want to do it. And Lorraine's like, I want to do it too. What is it going to look like? We are all given different gifts. So we can minister to people according to our own unique characters or unique gifts. Now, based on these two short verses on the screen that we have, then we have to tackle this question, right? You know, yeah, I know, you know, this is the scripture. It says very clearly about the Holy Spirit. The question is this, do I have the Holy Spirit? Or, you know, ask myself, you ask yourself. Now, I was at a convention, this is like 6-7 years ago at least, and I remember just at the convention, you know, you have these, like, you know, display area where, you know, people walk around and they give you stuff and you take it and you take a look at it and you talk to people. And I had this person came up to me and said, you know, hey, brother. Like, oh, hi. And the guy asked me, do you have the Holy Spirit? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what an odd question to ask. Like, the guy just came to, I had never met him, came up to me and said, do you have the Holy Spirit? So I was kind of like, okay, what do you mean, right? You know, I didn't tell him that I'm a pastor. And it was, the guy was asking me, he was basically saying that if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I don't speak in tongues, I don't prophesy, that I'm not a Christian. So I was like, okay, you know, thanks for telling me that, but what do you mean by, you know, like, that I have to have the gifts of tongues and gifts of prophecy before I have salvation? What do you mean? Like, it was really confusing. There are all kinds of perspectives out there in terms of the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't talk about a lot of this a lot here, I understand, in especially in the Asian church, or I would say in the MB church circle. You know, in this church, I've been here before, so I know we never talk about it very much. Now, there are four positions, or in very, very general ways. And I'm not going to go into depth with you. This is probably a little bit too much for some of you. Okay? This is the different views of supernatural gifts. And we talk about specifically the gifts of tongues and prophecy. Okay? You know what I mean? Like, you know, people speaking in tongues as they pray, people have prophesied. You know, they said, I have something from God. I think God is going to tell you something. Sometimes you go to churches. When you're on holiday, you go to different churches. And sometimes you walk into churches that will embrace different views. The first one is this. Cessationists. This is pretty easy. Okay? Supernatural gifts are not to be practiced today. That's it. Nobody talks about it. No one would speak in tongues. No one would have prophecies. And this is it. Only in early church. Okay? This is what a lot of churches believe. You know, if someone is praying in tongues, people go, oh, you know what? You're just faking it. You just go blah, 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 blah. You know, you're not real. Okay? That's what they say. You're just faking it. That's not the Holy Spirit. Second view, charismatic. The gifts are given to every generation, not just the early church, and should be practiced today according to the limits of the Bible. Okay? That's, in a sense, that's the view that I sort of believe. Okay? I don't believe that we will speak in tongues every Sunday. But I do believe, and I've seen people speaking in tongues, and I've seen people benefit from tongue speaking and prophesizing. The third one is Pentecostal. Now, sometimes you walk into a Pentecostal church, they will tell you this is what they believe. This is really similar to the one that I just mentioned. It promotes the speaking of tongues as a sign of the drawing. This is what the brother was telling me. He goes, you have to have the Spirit. You have to speak in tongues. That is a sign of you being in Christ. Okay? And that's a Pentecostal word. And this is, again, a very simplified one. I suggest you to look on, you know, ask your pastor. Don't Google it. Okay, this is really, really confusing sometimes. Ask Pastor Xavier or Pastor Isaac or Pastor Teresa. You know, they probably help you out with that. And then the fourth one is extreme. It's a maniac position. Okay? Supernatural gifts are given to all of us and have equal value to the scripture. That means the Bible is our authority, right? We believe in that. But these guys also believe, because since Bible is given to us by God, and the gifts of tongues and prophecies are also given by God, so they are equal. So if I have something to tell you, I can go, well, let's see, I'm picking on Lorraine again. Lorraine, you know, I have something from the scripture I think God is telling you. So I read a passage to her. Or I can go, I was praying, Lorraine, and I saw this picture of you becoming a missionary. And then, so, this is, I think, what you should do. Believe in it. Do it. And Lorraine's like, okay, Bible and the prophecy. We need to clarify that a little bit. And I'm not going to go into depth with you because, you know, we don't have time. This is a really, really deep topic. Spiritual gifts, let me just say this. They are different from natural talents. If you have done the inventory on your spiritual gifts, you know what I'm talking about. They are not your musical ability. They're not your athleticism. They're not your artistic talents. They're different. They are given to you at birth, these natural talents. You have your athletic ability when you're born. You develop it as you grow naturally. Spiritual gifts are different. They are given to us when we come to know Jesus as God. So you can live on earth and you can have all kinds of abilities, that things that you can do really well. Like we witnessed that in the Olympics. But guess what? You don't have spiritual gifts until you become a Christian. Now, each and every one of us, Christians, we will be given at least one as we became, you know, believers. So everybody is given a spiritual gift if you are a believer. It doesn't matter that you have just come to faith last night or you've been around for 10, 15, 20 years. You have at least one gift. So no one can say, I don't have spiritual gifts. Okay, again, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, and we'll get into that a little later. Now, there's no one definitive list of these gifts, unfortunately. If you look at Paul's writing, you know, if you want to make a reference, you can write these down. This chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, is one big one. Romans 12, 6-8, you have another passage that talked about a list, you know, sort of a short list of spiritual gifts. And then you have Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11. These verses gives us sort of a big picture, a big circle of these spiritual gifts. Now, let me just say this. We also serve outside of our spiritual gifts. So you're not going to go, well, you know what? Moving chairs, wiping tables, and opening doors for people are my natural gifts. Guess what? I'm not going to do this at church because they're not spiritual gifts. We serve people using our natural gifts. We don't just use spiritual gifts. This is one part of the service that we have in the church, using our natural gifts as well as spiritual gifts. And one more thing that I need to clarify that with you, and that is the spiritual gifts that we have often comes in the skill set that we're very passionate about. I was talking to Emma this morning, we were talking about passion. And I was thinking about this question all my life, and I ask people this question, what is it that is so dear to your heart? What is your passion? Now, this is beyond, you know, a, you know, young man or young woman, you know, video games or online thing or whatever that you have, or in my case, my iPhone or whatever that is. It goes beyond the material stuff. It's something that is so passionate, whether you have money or not, whether you're here or in Zimbabwe, wherever you are, you still have that passion. What is that is passionate in your life? And often, our spiritual gifts come in skill set that we're passionate about. In things that we really care, that we will do it for nothing. We will spend hours and hours for free just serving it, doing it. I don't have to go into the context here with you. I mean, you've been going through 1 Corinthians for a while now. The church, the believers, they were confused. They were really confused. They had no idea, because some people were speaking in tongues. Some people were prophesizing. And these guys would say, you guys don't prophesy. You guys are lower than me. And so they have a lot of, you know, struggles and tensions within the church. So they wrote to Paul and asked for help. And this is the response that Paul gave. And this is what he did. He pointed out a few things to them in regard to the spiritual gifts. And I think there are a few things that would help you in general as you look at ministry in the church in general. I'm not going to touch on specific spiritual gifts with you today. Excuse me. I'm not able to. There's so many of them. And hopefully I will leave it to Pastor Dave or Pastor Xavier to deal with the prophecy part, which is on chapter 14, two chapters later. And I'll leave it to them to deal with that because I don't have time for that. But I have four things that I'd like to share with you briefly. First one is this, unity. Spiritual gifts have to do with glorifying Jesus as God. Verse 2 says this, you know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. When the Corinthian people, the believers, they were still pagans. That means they were still not believing in Jesus. They were still believing other gods. They had no idea who Jesus is. So what happened is they would curse Jesus. Now we understand that, right? You go outside, you go to any places where Jesus is not God. What do they say, right? When they swear, what do they say? You know what I mean. They say the name. They use the name of the Lord in vain. But so Paul is telling them, when you guys weren't, you know, believers, you guys would curse, you guys would do, you know, really dumb things. But now, you guys are believers. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. So the only thing that comes out of your mouth would be all things that would only praise Jesus. Because this is the dwelling of the Spirit. When you have God inside of you, how can you say something that's derogative, that's insulting to God? What does that mean to us? It means as Christians, we are, like I said, dwelt by the Spirit. And this is manifest in the possession, our possessions of spiritual gifts. But it's not just about us. It's not about me. It's not about neat things that we can do with my gift or your gifts or our gifts. I mentioned earlier, I know people that they speak in tongues. They prophesize. Interesting thing is, they're not the, if I can say that, they're not the TV evangelists that you see on sometimes Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, these TV shows, people ask you to touch the TV screen and they will pray for you, that kind of thing. They're not bragging about it. They're not really promoting this. My friends, they would quietly have this sort of gift. And when, you know, I have people came to me and said, Lawrence, I think I've been praying for you for a while, and I have something I want to tell you. Maybe this is the Lord's been impressing this on my mind, in my heart. And as I pray, I want to tell you this. And they approach me with humility. They show me. This is not about them. You know, Lawrence, you know what happened to me last night? God spoke to me. I think you need to know this. They didn't come to me that way. It had to do with humility. It had to do with service. It has to do with God. The ultimate goal of these gifts, as Paul said, is to glorify God. It's to bring glory back to Jesus. So you have these different gifts in this church in Corinth. It's not about, I can do this. Let me show. This is not a talent show. This is about using the gifts from God to serve God. And that's a unifying factor in all ministries and among all spiritual gifts. Unifying the church. This church in Corinth, they started as a multi-ethnic church. They have Jews, Greeks, slaves, the free people, women, men, different social classes, educational level. They all gathered in the same church, just like what we have here. The differences were obvious. But Paul quickly pointed out their common denominator in ministry, glorifying the risen Lord. It doesn't really matter what language you speak. It doesn't really matter what social class you're in or how you look. Your personalized spiritual gifts are there to honor God, along with other people. So I have this gift. Let's just say I have this gift of greeting people, caring for people. And some people cannot really do this. But this guy can do a lot of discipleship stuff. And someone is praying really well. I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, you know, why don't you greet people? What's wrong with you? You don't greet people on Sunday. You don't care about people. And this guy's not going to come to me and say, how come you're not praying as hard as I am praying? This is not about our differences. This is about serving together as different parts of the body. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should just go, you know what, do nothing about spiritual gifts. But I want to encourage you and I want to remind you that we will serve with a purpose as we examine the things that we're doing for this church, the gifts that we have, and how we use our gifts to benefit the ministry. Allow the spotlight to fall on Jesus, not on us. When we can take our eyes off ourselves, we don't feel the pressure to perform anymore. I don't know if that hit any of you. I remember when I first started ministry, I always go, you know, I don't know how people will look at me, how people will think of me. You know, are they going to think that, you know, I'm just, you know, a gong show? It's not about me. And it took me a long time to realize that. When I come up here, it's not about performance. When I lead worship, when I greet people, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. He doesn't need our performance. He does not need our spiritual gifts to complete His work. We are given His gifts because He's gracious enough to give us the chance to serve in His ministry. And once we realize that, we can serve a lot better and we feel a lot more at peace, even when we feel uncomfortable. Diversity. Okay, I better speed up here because this is my, if you know me well enough, you know this. I always run over time. Spiritual gifts are given by the Trinitarian God. Okay, verses 4-6, 18-20. These gifts are given by God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it goes like this. It simply means that different kinds of gifts, we have different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit rules over that. We have different kinds of service, but we have the same God, the same Lord. We have different kinds of expression. We have the same God. And what I mean by these is this. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different individuals. Okay? We are different. I mentioned this earlier. I'm not going to go into this too much. We need to give people the benefit of the doubt. Even if we're not comfortable with the way that people serve. Just because I think you should do it that way doesn't mean that you have to do it that way. We have to trust God's leadership in other people's lives. Holy Spirit gives gifts to different individuals, different gifts. I have this gift, probably you have a very different gift. We have different kinds of ministry pointing at the same outcome. That means the hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Ministry is about God. Ministry, I mentioned it earlier, I'm going to say this again. Ministry is no longer ministry if we point to anything but Jesus. This is so critical. Now you may think, how simple is that? This is so critical. Sometimes we so zero in into what we do and we forget the fact that Holy Spirit leads us into what? Not growing this big church so we can reign in the Renfrew area. This is not about PG, if I can say that. This is not about you. This is about God. Even if that makes you uncomfortable. There are different kinds of display of God's power, but we have the same God. God shows Himself to us in different ways. I mentioned earlier the four different views. I have friends in every single category. And I respect them. I may not agree with them. I love them. They love Jesus. And they want to do things for God. Even though I think some of them are a little bit off in terms of their interpretation of the Bible. But it doesn't mean that I have to bash them. God shows Himself differently to different people. And sometimes, like I said, we have to learn to respect them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Pray for them. Not like, I'm going to pray for you because you're in trouble. Not that kind of prayer. But ask God to help us to be comfortable with things that we may not be comfortable in. Ministry, especially in the area of spiritual gifts. We have a God that is more than just a singular being. Our God is a communal God. He shows His own diversity in His very being. God is not just one person. He is one in three. Three in one. And just like Him, we are not a single entity. Church is not a single entity. God shows His own diversity in His own very being. And we're not just one single thing. It is, as Paul says in verses 14 to 17, we are like the parts of a human body, where every part has its own placement and purpose. All of us serve in different positions and different purpose, in different times. You may be doing this right now. You probably will move on to something else. For the good of the body of Christ, it is good to have diversity in our midst. It is good. The gospel of Christ sets us free. It doesn't mold us into spiritual robots. It's not like you come to church and we'll give you this and this is what you will do. There's a checklist. We are free people. By getting into discipleship, that frees us into the uniqueness of what God allows us to be. So when you come to discipleship, when you come to church, it's not like, oh, I have to follow this model. Now, you have to follow the Bible, of course. But you're not here to follow one particular spiritual model. You're here to allow God to mold you through discipleship so you would be able to serve God in your capacity. So if I'm someone who's good at praying, and I should never be behind a pulpit, then don't stand behind a pulpit. Use the gifts. Allow God to mold this church in diverse ways, using each of you differently, diversity. Interdependence. Spiritual gifts are there to benefit the church. This is verse 7, 18 to 20. Okay? A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Now, this, if you were looking for a reference to what I said earlier, each of us are given spiritual gifts. This is the verse. Verse 7. One spiritual gift, minimum, is given to each of us so we can help one another. We can serve one another. Like I said earlier, God did not give us spiritual gifts for our own glory. The gifts that we have benefit other people within the church. I'm not a musician. This morning, I rely on Olina, Lorraine, and who else was doing it? Was it Leanne? Yeah. You guys were doing worship. It was great. If I come up and do worship, you guys are in trouble. I cannot do it. I rely on them. I rely on them to worship. Can you imagine if our worship leader comes to Lorraine and says, or comes to like one of the deacons and says, hey, I want to do worship the whole service because I think Lawrence sucks. He doesn't preach very well. So why don't we just worship the whole thing? And then I come to Lorraine or Raymond and say, Raymond, you know what? I don't like worship. You know, they don't do very well. Let me preach for an hour. Can you imagine if we do that? Much has been said about different congregations within a Chinese context, a Chinese church. English congregation, Cantonese congregation, Mandarin congregation, whatever language people speak in, and how they can coexist within one roof. I would just say this. I see different congregations in the church more of an interdependence relationship that we could have. Very often we look at the differences that we have. English congregation, we use the drums, we don't use the hymn book. Chinese congregation, they're more into the traditional way of worshiping. I see us contributing to their spiritual formation, and their spiritual formation will also benefit from us. We are an interdependent church. We depend on one another. Spiritual gifts are there. We have the gifts here. This is our gifts. It's a little different from the Chinese side. It's a little different from the Mandarin side. But guess what? We can benefit from their stuff and they can benefit from our stuff. I encourage you, if you are a trans, sort of, not trans, but you know, like you go all over different congregations, I encourage you to be advocate of this unity, this interdependence that we have within a church. It's where that we have differences, you know, within one church and we can benefit from one another. But we can do it. You guys can do it. Value. Spiritual gifts are assigned by God. Now, part of the tensions within the Corinth church originate in the misunderstanding of the spiritual gifts. The assumption was someone who had the gift of tongues and prophecy, like I said earlier, would have more of a higher standing in the church, while other people would be in a lower class. Now, you read the next chapter. Everybody knows the next chapter, right? Chapter 13. What does it talk about? Somebody help me out here. Love! Thank you very much. You guys are awake. Okay? I'm going to end soon, so don't worry. 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. You will have more chance to look at that later on. But it would make a lot more sense when you look at chapter 12 as a context. As in, you know, you understand that segregation that is, you know, that is within this church. They are being separated. And that's why Paul, right after this chapter, talking about different spiritual gifts, he has to ask them, guys, you have to love another. They're not just sitting there and go, nothing happens. Let's love another. They are there because they have a division. They needed Jesus. They needed God to impose his love, his unity on them. Verses 22 to 27. Let me just read this to you, and I'll close very quickly. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts that we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, whilst the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony. Harmony. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for one another, each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. I had a really, really difficult thing time with my tonsil. I always get sore throat. Like I can almost like prophesy this because I know it will happen 5 to 6 times a year. Then I will get very sick and my tonsil would be affected, infected. And I would not be able to, speak for a couple of days. It happens 5 to 6 times a year. Always. Guess what? I don't think about it very often until I get sick. And sometimes on a cold day, well, not really cold, but on a breezy day like that, I realize I forgot my scarf. I need to protect it. I don't want to catch a cold with it. It's a small part of my body. But guess what? When I get really sick with my tonsil and I get a sore throat, it affects everything. My appetite, my mood, my sleep, everything else. Like, I couldn't sleep very well last night because my tonsil was acting up. It's difficult to remember protecting small parts. But guess what? We have to value every single part, every single person in this church. None of us can have all the gifts that we need within a church setting. We are all valuable to this church in our own unique ways. All valuable. It doesn't really matter how small a gift you have in you. Maybe you're new to this church. Maybe this is your third, fourth, fifth week, second month here. You hardly know anybody. You come in, you sit here, and you leave. And you go, I just want to worship. But guess what? This is my home. Maybe I should pray for the church. I will look at the prayer request in the bulletin. I will pray once during the week. Or maybe there are things that I'm already doing, and I'll do more of it. It doesn't really matter how small that gift that you have. The key is that you will use it, whether it's ushering, stacking chairs, praying for others, all of you. I'm looking at each and every one of you. All of you are valuable to this church. Let me say this. I mentioned earlier, this is home to me in a sense. There was one elderly woman in this church, and I won't mention her name, but every time I come, if I see her, she will always go, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you." And she doesn't remember my name. She just goes, "Oh, I know your last name is Chung, but I'm praying for you, Pastor." She's been doing this to me ever since I was in Bible college. This is over like 15 years ago. Small gift. She doesn't do a lot. She doesn't preach. She doesn't lead worship. She doesn't do a lot of stuff. But she's been very faithful in prayer. And that's all that matters when it comes to participating, involving in church ministry. One of the logos of the sub-logos, not real logos, but one of the lines that I caught during the Paralympics is the celebration of all abilities. Are you celebrating all abilities within this church? Can I pray with you? God, I would ask that you would just encourage those that are thinking about serving you with their small gifts, however small they are, that you will help them to realize that you love them and you will use them. May they be touched in a unique way by the indwelling of your Spirit, and may they realize that they're not alone. It all begins with you and ends with you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us, and we ask that you would continue to work in us according to our unique gifts, but also our limitations. And I pray this in your name. Amen. The Lord be with you.